Welcome to the Built On Air Podcast, the variety show for all things Airtable. In each episode, we cover four different segments. It's always fresh and different and lots of fun while you get the insider info on all things Airtable. Our hosts and guests are some of the most senior experts in the Airtable community. Join us live each week on our YouTube channel every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Eastern and join our active community at builtonair.com. Before we begin, a word from our sponsor, Onto Air Backups. Onto Air Backups provides automated Airtable backups to your cloud storage for secure and reliable data protection. Prevent data loss and set up a secure Airtable backup system with Onto Air Backups at ontoair.com. As one customer, Sarah, said, having automated Airtable backups has freed up hours of my time every other week and the fear of losing anything. Longtime customer David states, Onto Air Backups might be the most critical piece of the puzzle to guard against unforeseeable disaster. It's easy to set up, and it just works. Join Sarah, David, and hundreds more Airtable users like you to protect your Airtable data with Onto Air Backups. Sign up today with promo code BuiltOnAir for a 10% discount. Check them out at OntoAir.com. And now, let's check out today's episode and see what we built on air.
All right, welcome back to episode 2 of season 18 of the Built On Air podcast. Good to be back with everybody. We've got Camille and myself, and joined by Hugo from WP Connect. Welcome, Hugo. Glad to have you on.
Thank you.
We may be joined by Stefan from WP Connect as well. He's dealing with some internet connectivity issues, so hopefully he'll join us here in a second. And Allie couldn't make it this week. She was returning from the eclipse yesterday and stuck in a place without internet. So she'll be back next time. But I'll walk through what we're going to be talking about. It's always an hour-long show. We go through different items. We always start with our round the bases, get you up to date on everything Airtable related and all the communities of what people are talking about. Then we'll do a quick shout out to our sponsor, Onto Air. And then we'll learn about both Hugo and Stefan and their background and how they got into this world. And then we'll turn it over to them to showcase their app called WP Connect and how it works with Airtable. And then talk about our community, how you can join and participate. And then finally, Camille's going to walk us through a base on multi-question voting. So with that, with our round the bases, a few interesting updates. This will be the Russell show for a bit. Russell's been active this week, showcasing a couple of cool things. So he first talks about how he built a webhook-based web analytics inside of Airtable using a JavaScript to a webhook to then update an Airtable record. Oh. So just a little bit of JavaScript knowledge, you could build your own Google Analytics replacement inside of Airtable. It's kind of cool. We'll have to have, I think Russell's coming on. Maybe he'll showcase this in a future episode. He also talked about a feature that I don't think we've mentioned in the past, where on a button, that now has visibility where you can actually hide the button if it doesn't meet certain conditions or if it does meet certain conditions. And so buttons, and it's probably, there's 20 different types of buttons, so I don't know which buttons this applies to.
As far as I'm aware, this is for newer detail pages, buttons that are at the very top of the detail page or on individual groups. But yeah, it's really useful for if you had a button that had the action was, say, update the record, and the update is, say, mark as paid. Well, you don't really want to click the button again if it's already marked as paid. So the conditional visibility now lets you, say, hide this if it's already paid. And so it's little things like that that kind of clean up your interface and make sure that people don't repeat the same process twice or, do something before they're supposed to do it because it doesn't meet certain criteria.
Yeah. So it's just like now they have groupings that have visibility, but this is at the button specific level. So
yes. So you can hide individual fields, you can hide whole groups, and now you can hide buttons conditionally.
Yeah. So that's cool. So that is good. Welcome, Stefan. Are you with us?
Sorry. Hello.
No, you're good. We can hear you now, so you're good.
I had to reboot the whole thing, but well, my camera didn't work, and just after it was the microphone. Well,
you're good.
And it's a little bit complicated, but it's okay.
The news, and then we'll get learn more about you in a second. So
no problem. Thank you.
All right, one more from Russell. Using a roll-up on a percentage field with color conditions will pre-fill the colors the same as the source field. I don't think I knew about this feature. So that's kind of cool.
I don't often apply different colors to – this is really only relevant, I think, to percentage fields when you have a specific color applied to – certain percentages. I normally just leave it as green all the time, and so I never would have noticed this. So pretty cool. Mm-hmm.
Yep. So that is cool. Nice little hack there. All right. I think that's the last from Russell. This one from Jan. Default options for a date field. So default to current date. This is actually really cool. And it's not listed in their what's new section.
Well, of course not, Dan. That thing's not updated. But yeah, so quietly and very recently, they've updated the default options for a couple of different fields, like checkboxes. You can now default to checked. But to Jan's point, you can default to current date. Previously, this is something you could do on a form where the form would be pre-filled with the current date, but this is now a global default setting, much like a single select and single line text. And now multi-select, you can also do a default applied to it. So they're adding more and more defaults, which is nice to see.
Yeah. And I wonder, it looks like it's, I haven't tested this. If is that clickable where you can maybe set it to like a static date?
I will check in the background.
Let's see if Scott.
Nope. It's just default to current date.
Okay, yeah.
It does appear clickable, so I don't know if that might be a future intention they have to add that as a functionality, but right now it seems like you can only default to whatever the date is.
Yeah. Okay, this one from Scott. This is from Fill Out, talking, showing how they do their defaults, a bit more advanced. Say maybe Airtable will do that. All right. So that is a cool feature that will come in handy. Okay, here's one I found this morning. I was looking through the what's new to see if anything was added. There's nothing in April, but I'm 99% sure this top one here was not there a week ago. And we didn't talk about it last week.
I don't know if it was there a week ago, but it was pointed out, I think, in our Slack community. I think that's where I first saw it. And they updated the help article about it, but didn't otherwise make a big fanfare, which was surprising because this is one of the most asked for features, is to create or delete a record from a downstream base. There are many caveats. I've done a little bit of testing for this feature, but it is very useful. If you have a pretty simple sync from A to B in base B, you can create a new record and you can delete that record. The deleted record shows up in the deletion history in both the original base and in the downstream base, and you can restore from either base. That is very nice because originally I thought it would be only in the base in which you deleted it, or only in the source base. It does appear in both of the trash histories. So that's great for traceability. And
when you restore, it restores on both?
Yes. Just like with editing a synced record, it seems pretty, it's pretty quick. There's not a lot of delay that I noticed between creating it in one bass and seeing it appear or disappear in the other. There's like a lot of little gotchas, I think, for, especially if you are linking records together, you're going to come into some issue. And if your synced bass is based on a filter, you got to make sure that it matches those filter conditions. Otherwise, I don't know where the record goes. it might get stuck or trapped. So, yeah, there's some gotchas, but it's very encouraging.
Yeah. No, that is really useful. But on that note, let me see if this is the right one. I'm going to skip. Here we go. On that note of synced tables, Sam in the Built on Air community says, I learned the hard way that if you're dependent on reliable and live data, you should not use Airtable Sync. The sync times can be very fast at times, but other times it can be very slow. There's a good conversation on some issues people have with sync tables. So definitely is not perfect. Sometimes it does go to sleep where they don't sync. And so you do have to kind of be aware. You can nudge it. If you make some changes, it might wake it up.
Yeah, this is for like, I don't know what Airtable would call it in terms of their own terminology, if it's a dormant bass or if the bass is sleeping or whatever they call it. But if you have a bass that just sort of sits there and no one goes in and edits, they will not sync at the same frequency as a active bass where people are in it all the time and there's changes being made and et cetera. So not entirely reliable to have, you know, completely rely on the regular sync refresh rate, especially if it's not a very active bass.
Yeah. So yeah, just be aware there is still some nuance to that. All right. Here's a weird issue with email. Joseph in the Built on Air community has an email template that doesn't have anyone in the CC, but when it gets sent, it puts the person's email address that is in the to line also in the CC line. I'm BCCing myself on the emails and I'm wondering if it's related to that. It's just weird. I've never seen it before. And I BCC myself on a lot of automation emails, never seen this issue. So there it shows the to going here, and then it shows up as a CC. So there's discussion there. And this is an email from Airtable itself. Mm-hmm.
So I read through this one before, up until about when Scott started replying, and apparently the response from Airtable is that this is intended behavior done for some compliance reasons, where if you were to have multiple people that are in the to or CC line, the reason why you appear in both is yada yada compliance reasons, and you can read the full response on the Built on Air Slack community. But it sounds like they kind of, this was their way around, you know, being compliant with some messaging rules and laws and whatnot. And I think one of the concerns from this thread is, I don't want to receive the same email twice. Your email provider should not be sending you multiple emails if you're in the to CC and BCC line. That's an email thing. You should only receive one, with the caveat of if you're in like a group email and you are personally added to the to line, then you will receive two emails. But that's not what's happening here.
Yeah. And I believe this was confirmed later that it doesn't send a duplicate. Yeah. So yeah, there has been changes. I think we talked about it. Maybe we didn't talk about that. They now have the ability to remove yourself from an email thread. And so it now adds a link at the bottom where you can, you know, remove yourself. And have we done testing on that? Like that removes you from that automation any future emails from that automation or that base, I think?
I haven't tested yet. I could see this being tricky to resolve from Airtable standpoint, because one base might have 30 different email digest things. Mm-hmm. And if you only want to unsubscribe to one, well, that might be a feature that you have to bake in yourself. But I don't know how you get around Airtable's default unsubscribe feature, because they have to have one for, again, compliance reasons. So, you know, at some point, if you're anticipating people unsubscribing and you have multiple campaigns, this is one of those instances where perhaps you should be using a different email system that's sort of purpose built for this, so that you have more control over what they're unsubscribing to.
Yeah. But definitely Airtable has been making modifications. It looks like they're trying to get compliant, and this might be part of that as well. All right, move on. Here's an interview. If you like to hear interviews with Airtable executives, here's one on Tech Talks Daily with, let's see, it's with Anthony Maggio, who is the head of product management at Airtable. So we'll provide a link to that if you like listening. I cannot say that I've listened to this yet, so not sure on the quality, but always like to hear what people at Airtable have to say about the product and future roadmap. Okay, here's an interesting one. So this is a post from Airtable talking about AWS, Amazon using Airtable internally. The quote from AWS is, "Airtable has enabled AWS to quickly build the front end and back ends of internal applications, which are now integrated with generative AI, no code or engineering resources necessary." So that's a pretty good, the reason why I thought this was interesting was AWS had a product, it was called Honeycomb, that was somewhat competitive to Airtable. It was kind of like a low code, no code app builder. They sunsetted that a few months ago, if I remember correctly. And so it's just interesting that they were using Airtable to build their internal tools and not their own product.
Well,
so that's a good testimonial there from AWS, as Chris Dancy says. So, all right. Actually, it's a good time. I'll do that at the end. We'll make an announcement on that. Okay, this one's coming from LinkedIn. This is from Jimmy, who was on the show last week. Been trying to write an Airtable formula for 2 years that I could never figure out. Found some helpful stuff in the community and their support was good, but I still couldn't get it to work for my use case. Then Eric told me to ask ChatGPT to write the formula, and it worked. Now, I would say probably what you're thinking is Airtable now has built-in AI for writing your formulas that you don't even need to go to ChatGPT.
Well, I was going to say, what was the formula? Because
yeah, that's true.
I like to think I'm quite good at Airtable formulas. Maybe I could have done it.
Yep.
That's true. Don't need your stinking AI.
That is true. Yeah, it's amazing, like that functionality for, I haven't been doing a ton of formulas lately, but just, I know how complex formulas can get and if AI can help, but you also got to be careful. You got to know that what AI came up with is what you're trying to do.
In this case, I would prefer using Airtable's built-in formula generator that appears at the bottom of a formula field, just because it is presumably well trained on Airtable formula syntax and all of the, you know, how to actually write one in Airtable rather than ChatGPT, which may or may not have good training on how to write formulas specifically for Airtable. I suspect it's quite good at Excel formulas, but Excel formulas are inherently different from Airtables. And so, but if it worked for Jimmy, it worked. So
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I do know in the past, I remember like it would use functions that didn't exist inside of Airtable and things like that. So. All right, a few more. These are from the Airtable community. This is kind of a request I thought was interesting. This was more towards enterprise users, enterprise admins, asking for better support for the SAML SCIM integration to be able to automatically link a user to a seat type, so an editor or
viewer.
A viewer, yeah, based off of some kind of mapping. So it doesn't currently do that. So you can't, it does have single sign-on, but it doesn't, if a new user comes in, it probably defaults to just one use type or something.
I believe, I could be incorrect, but I believe what happens is the manner in which you're invited to the enterprise org unit, it determines what seat type you have. So if your first invite is like, be an editor on this interface, you'll come in as an editor. Otherwise, you'll come in as a viewer. That could be wrong, but I think that's what happens. But I agree, this would be pretty useful if you happen to have an attribute that's passed through your single sign-on or other authentication. I mean, that would be great if you could just pre-fill it yourself if you happen to already know.
Yep. So that's useful. And last one. This is kind of a long discussion. Interface share permissions to be set independently of base permissions. Scott answers this, but not exactly the way that what he was intending the original question. But I thought what Scott brought up was a good reminder of understanding when you're sharing at the base level versus the interface level. Those are different and can be confusing. So be aware, if you want people to only have access to the interface, you have to share from the interface. If you share from the base or the workspace level, then they'll have access to the data layer. Mm-hmm. So that's a good reminder, although that wasn't what they were asking. They were asking for just being able to publicly share an interface where anybody could use it without having to log in, which currently is not available, except for the forms.
Yes. Which is getting increasingly confusing. Before it was fine, forms being, publicly shareable and interfaces not, because they were entirely separate concepts and, pieces of the product. But now the new form builder is only accessible via the interfaces, three tab. If you go under interfaces, that's where the new form builder is. And those new forms can be publicly accessible, but the rest of interfaces can't. And so my hope is that eventually interfaces will have a toggle for publicly accessible, probably in view only. I mean, I don't suspect they would give you edit capability because that's how they make their money, through licenses. But that's not a thing yet, as explained in this post.
Yeah. So, all right, let's catch up a couple chats we missed out on. Alicia says, I'm excited about this, talking about the default dates for my current time tracking. Love being able to default it to current time. Yeah, I agree. I think that's a really powerful feature. And then Frank talking about the formula generator, Airtable formula generator is also aware of other fields in your table, which is super helpful. That's a great point. So that another advantage to use the built-in one.
Yeah. For AI.
Okay. One quick announcement. If you haven't heard about Dairtable, this is number three?
Four.
If you count the online one, right?
Well, I don't know. Four, can five. I count? Is this three?
I think this is three in person. Austin, okay. San Francisco, yes. New York. I think, right?
Yes. The original was all virtual.
Yeah. Okay. So this is 3.5, Garrett says. Yeah, that's probably fair. So, and this will be in New York, October 25th. And that's a Friday. And then I believe there's also networking and other activities on the Saturday. So kind of a day and a half of events. So excited for that. Limited tickets. So they're going to be 300, which I think is the most they've ever had. And so Chris Dancy and Ben Green are organizing this. So tickets are on sale now. And I plan to be there. Camille, I think maybe we'll make the trip out.
I will most likely be there.
Okay. So it's great to lots of people plan to join and participate. And so, yeah, so check that out. We may be able to, I'm talking to, or I need to talk to Ben and Chris, if you're listening, hook us up at Built on Air to give us some discount coupon codes for our listeners. So maybe we can help out with that. Friday, Saturday, there we go, October 25th and 26th. And if you want to be a presenter as well, you can apply to be a speaker to that. Okay, so that concludes everything going on in the Airtable world. So let's move on to a quick shout out. If you are running your business in Airtable, make sure to back up your data outside of Airtable. That follows best practices for data security and continuity. So Airtable backups is a great solution built directly around Airtable, understands Airtable and backs up your data as well as your schema information and all your attachments into Google Drive, Box, or Dropbox. So check that out at on2air.com. Use code BuiltOnAir to get a, I believe, 5% discount on that. Okay, we're going to now jump to our discussion, learn about Stefan and Hugo. We'll include both of you, learn a little bit about your backgrounds and what you've got going on. So I'm curious, give me a little history of yourselves and how you came into this world of Airtable.
Okay, I begin. I make it quick because I have 20 years of web behind me. So I'm come from a web agency world. So I created a Digital Corner 5 years ago, 7 years ago. So we are in France, in Nantes. So we are specialized in website creation, SEO, web marketing, web development, basically. And in 2020, we are specialized in WordPress area, to be precise. We do other stuff, but really expertise in WordPress. And in 2020, we include in our offers the no code services. And in 2022, we built WP Connect, who is the studio design, development, and sales of WordPress plugin to connect no code tools to WordPress.
Very cool. I'm wondering what the pipeline is from WordPress to no code in general, because I feel like WordPress, I don't want to call it the original necessarily, but it's a no code tool itself. And there's a lot that you can learn from dealing with WordPress and its various limitations and apply that to other products as well.
WordPress is a no-code tool, of course. Yes, you're totally right. It is a low-code tool as well, and it is a code tool. So it is a framework now. This is more than CMS. So WordPress is more like, as I say, a framework where you can build some things with code, no-code, etc., etc. And what we want to do here is to connect more database no-code tools with WordPress. So use the front end of WordPress and even the admin panel of WordPress. Once we have made the first sync from Airtable or Notion, because we have two plugins that we connect to WordPress in this way, Airtable to WordPress and Notion to WordPress. We have also add-ons that send data to from WordPress to Airtable or Notion. But basically, for the RWP thing, the plugin that we will show you, the idea was to have an external database to handle some data. And not in the admin panel of WordPress, that can be in some way a little bit tricky to use for some users.
So I had a question. Actually, Hugo, if you want to give your background and what you're up to.
Yeah, I'm a little bit younger than Stefan, so it's going to be...
You're nice.
I've just received my diploma from my master degree in web development in a more full stack way. And I'm working with Stefan in the agency since 2 years and a half now. So it's been a long time. And so as Stefan said, I've could assist to the launch of WP Connect, and I think that's it. My major role is to be developer and project manager in the web agency.
We have the same entity for now. We hope that we will build a society, WP Connect, on its own. But for now, this is Digital Corner that handles the services, web WordPress services, digital strategy services, and no-code services, and the products. The products editing like WP Connect. So the WP Connect is more like a brand mark of Digital Corner. It's not a society. So it begins to be a little bit complicated to have services and products to manage, to handle, to organize. But yeah, we managed to do that with a bunch of freelancers that is around us.
Yep. Yeah, I'm in the same boat as you. I know the complexities of managing both those. My question for you is I'm curious about, like, everybody in the web world knows and likely has used WordPress. What do you think is the future of WordPress? How do you think? How is it still continuing to grow strong, or is it losing momentum?
We hear a lot of things about WordPress, especially in the no-code community, who doesn't like WordPress. So it's a bit funny to hear that WordPress is dead. WordPress is dead. I'm sorry, no, WordPress is not dead. Is it strong? The truth is that there is a lot of tools now that didn't exist before, like to design a website, something like that, like Doric, like Webflow, of course, yeah. I think that is good for WordPress. WordPress, this is 45% of the web, so this is like huge, as you know, and the market is not growing, but how do you say that in English? Wow. Yeah. It's not down as well. So there is a lot of news in WordPress. There will be the FSE. I don't know if you know the FSE. This is the full site editing. So you can manage totally your website in WordPress, the header, the content, the footer. There's a lot of AI as well with A/B testing with the Gutenberg blocks. There is a AI in the page builder as well, like Elementor, things like that. There is a lot of stuff that is coming, especially the redesign of the admin panel and the collaboration on the admin, things that there were not till now.
Yeah, it is amazing. The ecosystem around WordPress is just phenomenal.
This is huge. This is a little web it's inside the web. So yeah. And there is a lot of people that is using WordPress, but yeah, WordPress is a dinosaur. That's for sure. 20 years old, but it's still there. It's open source, and it's not to forget that it is open source. So I'm gonna say that it will never be it will ever exist because the community is really, really, really strong and active. So and it's good. It's good for open source tools. And in the no code ecosystem, I strongly believe that the no code open source will be rising this year because there is a lot of tools no code that are really good.
Yeah. Very cool. All right, let's move on. If you want to share your screen.
Yes.
Yeah, you go, Will.
Talk about your product, WP Connect, you're going to share with us.
Yeah, so WP Connect is the entity, the brand mark. And what we're going to show you is the one of the 10 products that we have developed. So RWP Sync, Airtable to WordPress. We have another plugin that is called Notion WP Sync, which connects Notion to WordPress. And we have some add-ons that connect Forms plugin to Airtable and Notion. So we have Gravity Form to Airtable, WP Form to Airtable, Contact Form 7 to Airtable. We have free plugins, and we have freemium plugins and paid plugins. And RWP Sync is one of the plugin. It exists in three versions, in free version, pro version, and pro plus version. And in 2 weeks, I'm saying it now. We will release an 11th plugin, who is connecting WooCommerce with Airtable in both ways. Yeah. For now, RWP Sync is just one way because we want to keep a single source of truth philosophy. And for the AirWooSync, so the WooCommerce for Airtable, we managed to include two-way sync. Okay. So products in Airtable to WooCommerce and orders in WooCommerce to Airtable with the stock regulation, of course.
I'm sure everyone knows, but in case they don't, WooCommerce is, I believe, the most common e-commerce plugin for WordPress. So allowing you to have a storefront on your page to buy and sell things of some sort. So that's really cool that it could connect to Airtable to, as you say, automatically manage, you know, what products are you selling and what's the stock of those items, etc. Pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it will, we have a 15 beta tester and we will test the product with them in 10 days. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so can you share with us how this AirWP Sync works?
Yes. Can you see my screen now?
Yep. Yes.
Okay, so basically, how does it work? Just like other plugins in WordPress. So once you have downloaded and activated, you have an interface here. And the major feature, what is really important to understand in this plugin, is that RWP Sync is using the API of Airtable to make the synchronization between WordPress and Airtable. How does it work? It's working thanks to the connections. For the example, now I'm going to present a simple use case with a job board. So in Airtable, I have my database with all of my job, my vacancies. So I have a lot of information, job name, company, the logo, the type, etc. And what I want to do is to synchronize all of this info in my WordPress. So for that, I have a connection. There are four steps in the connection. First, the settings. As I said before, to communicate between WordPress and Airtable, we need to use the API. So for that, we have what we call a token, and that we can find in your Airtable account. Once you're connected in your Airtable account, you have a space called.
We had to change this part when they decide to migrate from API key to access token.
Yes,
I was going to ask which path you went with, and yeah, access tokens.
We released the first version of RWP Sync in August 2022, and free version, so with the API key, and we wanted to release the pro version in January 2023, and Airtable announced the token in December, I think, 2022. Mm-hmm. So we had to stop the development and to integrate in the first version the access token, because we didn't want to change it in 2023. So yeah.
Yes. So
but I think they know you go for the token. That's okay.
Yes. Yes. I think that's. For now, we are using the token because the API is not the API key is not supported by Airtable.
Yep.
Once we have created our token, we can put it in the connection, and then I can say the connection is established. We have all of our bases. Once I've selected my bases, so this one, I can find my tables. So the one I want to use is the job board. Then I can select also the views and filter by formula. What is really important by these two features is that the view, I don't know, maybe if I have another view with only a permanent contract, I can create a view and only synchronize permanent contracts. And I can also make it by the formula here.
Mm-hmm.
We will add the filters in the next release, the filter and the filter group.
Yeah.
It will be easier for user to filter directly in the connection.
Yes.
That's very nice.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Because, as you said before, in all of your reviews, sometimes a formula, as we can say, on LinkedIn, I think it was Jimmy that was saying that sometimes a formula could be a little bit tricky on Airtable. So we are going to make it easier for all of our users. The first step is where my data come from. Then how can I import it on WordPress? So all the post type and all of the feature of WordPress, and then coming the field mapping. So, for example, my job name is going to be corresponding to the title of my job, and I make it for all the fields that I want to import in WordPress. And finally, I have my synchronized settings, so I can select my strategy. So add, update, and delete, add, update, and just add. It means that the strategy, add, update, and delete, if I delete a post on Airtable, it's going to be deleted on WordPress. And I can trigger manually recurring, so I can choose how often I want to be the sync you make. And also via webhook, as you know, in Airtable, you can launch trigger a webhook thanks to the scripts. So once I have synchronized my posts, I have all the list here that is the same I have here. And then on the front end, so it means on the website that all the user can see, I have all the posts. So it means that I really can create a job board, but you can imagine a lot of use case. You can manage your blog on Airtable. You can manage everything. If you have
directories, for example, as well.
Yes,
We have a lot of clients who are running directories websites.
Yeah.
So it's easier for us to use Airtable, for example. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or even events as well.
Yes,
events and real estate. We have a lot of real estate clients that run their business on Airtable.
Yes, exactly. And why they are using also that is because once my data is imported in WordPress, I can use it as many ways. For example, now I'm using Elementor. Elementor is a page builder on WordPress, mm-hmm. but it means that once your data is in the CMS, you can use it as you want. If you want to put it in a single page, if I just want to use this or that, I can select and pick exactly what I want. And that is really important because for my single page now, I can display the salary, the type of the contract, and all of the informations that are in my Airtable. All of this info that I can see here have been imported into the WordPress.
The difference with the previous plugin, I don't know if you knew it, AirPress.
Mm-hmm.
The difference is that we import the content in WordPress. We do not call the data in Airtable. So we import and we synchronize. So we get better in the for the performance. And as Hugo say, once the data is in WordPress, you can manipulate the way you want in to display it in the on the front end.
It's better for SEO as well, probably, because it's you could be crawled by, you know, yeah. different search engines because it's permanently there rather than only on page load.
Yes,
totally.
Exactly. That's a good thing that you talked about SEO. I think that's Stefan what wanted to say is that the plugin supports 80% of the SEO plugins, the major plugin of SEO on WordPress. So it means SEO Press, Yoast SEO, SEO Key, and
RankMath and All-in-One SEO. Yeah, we have a full compatibility with the four major SEO plugins. So you can manage your SEO in Airtable, and you can map the meta. Hugo will show you, I think.
Yes.
Yeah. The metadata, the meta description, the Facebook description, the meta title, the slug. You can even manage the slug of your URL. The Twitter description and of course the meta description and the meta title. And this for Yoast, All-in-One, RankMath, and SEO Press, who are the four major SEO plugins. So you can have your content in Airtable, and you can have your SEO data, your SEO SEO content who is related to your content in the same table.
Amazing. Yeah. So while we're on this page, I just want to point out several things that I like about the setup. One, each connection seems like it could have its own access token. And with personal access tokens, you can define very specific scopes in Airtable. So only give it read and write access to this base for this token and give a different token to a different base. So full control over, you know, how much each of these imports sees. I like the usability of dropdowns of the base and table and view because you're reading the API to get that information rather than having someone put in the base ID and the table ID just very good for usability. And then
thanks
I
to
love
the thanks the to the metadata.
I love that you can import not just as posts, but other taxonomies in WordPress.
Yeah, taxonomies, totally. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. And then different post types and defaults, and then the field mapping, which you just explained, which includes things like the metadata properties, not just like custom fields that you might add. So yeah, I agree with Frank. Not having to constantly call Airtable is huge. This sounds great. And I'm what I call a survivor of WordPress. I used to use WordPress. I started in WordPress and no longer use it personally, but this makes it feel more, vastly more usable.
Yeah.
Yeah. We think so too. And thank you for your words, Camille. What we wanted to do is really, we listened to our users, and we obviously had some functionalities with the life of the plugin. So the plugin has 1 year old now, one year and a half. So we are the version 2. So we had as well the possibility to create user. Hugo just show you.
Yes.
You can create user in Airtable as well. So
amazing.
You have as well this possibility, and you can also, if you want, create post type and create custom field as well directly in the plugin. So really, I think you have really full control on your content management here.
Yeah. It really is amazing because, you know, the platforms that took off, like Softr being one of the big ones, the main advantage it had was tying directly into Airtable. So you could use Airtable as your backend. But now you have all the power of WordPress and all mm-hmm. the other plugins that you want to use, but still use, because admittedly, like I still use Airtable or WordPress for several of my sites. But I hate going into the back end, and it's slow and it takes long for page loads to manage all the posts. So being able to do all that in Airtable and syncing it over is really a game changer of being able to manage all your content and everything in Airtable.
We and especially with this new no code generation, we strongly believe that it was the right move to have the power of the two words, mm-hmm. which are not two words at the end, but were really complementary. So. So we work for that to, and we want to improve as well the UX UI here, because this is really the first version of this admin of the plugin. For the WooCommerce, we totally redesigned the interface. It will be really more accessible and beautiful and easy to have. We have ideas as well of like templates. You know, we think to make bundles, for example. Imagine you can download Airtable template with the plugin and with the configuration already done with a JSON file or XML file. I don't know. That you can just in one click install the full ecosystem. We think as well to maybe have front-end templates with WordPress. So you can you will have the total control of your front, your sync tool, and you're back in Airtable. So the possibilities are endless.
Yeah, there's a lot. We'll have to have you back on when maybe showcase WooCommerce and mm-hmm. whatnot. So exciting stuff. Thank you for sharing, Stefan and Hugo. Awesome.
Thank you.
And they can find you, WP wpconnect.co. Is that correct?
Yeah, totally.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, let's move on quick. If you're not in our Built on Air community, learning about these amazing tools and all about Airtable, join us at builtonair.com. We have a very active Slack community of users. I'll give a quick shout out here. Some of the faces of the community. There's many more. There's thousands of people in there. So come join us at builtonair.com. We'd love to have you in. And with that, Camille is going to walk us through her base that she built for us.
All right. So as mentioned previously, Airtable is coming back again this year, this time October and New York. But last time there was a conference, I had a session, and one of the sessions was, one of the things that I did in my sessions was answer questions live. And Chris Dancy, one of the organizers of Airtable, asked me, what do you do if you happen to be running a conference and you have this thing where people can vote on sessions or what have you, but you want to prevent someone from voting several times and in having their vote, like spamming the vote counter. So I gave several answers. Many of the people who were present, Ali Alosa, our co-host, I believe Jen Rudd had an answer, Cherry Yang had an answer, I feel like Lorenzo had an answer. A lot of the names and faces that you will see in the Built on Air Slack community, everyone kind of had an idea. Of course, Kavan had answers as well. And so I decided, since we are going back to Airtable, what would you do in order to get at that idea in practice? In the conference, I just sort of talked aloud how I thought one might do it. And here is a very quick rundown of what you could do, starting with the form itself. So you have a form where people fill it out and you have different categories. So one of the things that Chris was saying is that you can vote on multiple things. It's a full day conference. So there might be, I think there's different tracks. There might be three different tracks, and what is the best session for each conference track might be how the form is structured. So I have question one, category A, question two, category B. I've set this so you can only select one record for each category. It just makes splitting it up easier. But I will go into how the base is structured and what's happening behind the scenes. So based on some of the answers from my compatriots at the conference, we're starting off with a table of registrants. This is a conference, so you should know who's showing up beforehand because they will have purchased tickets. And so I just made a really quick checkbox for whether or not they've paid for their ticket. But I have everybody who should be coming to the conference. In all of this is like test data from Airtable's templates, but I have Dan, myself, and Hugo, but I've added Hugo after Hugo already submitted the form, and I'll explain why. Really simply, here are all of the things that could be voted on. These are just the different sessions of the conference. And here is the table that gets filled out when you submit a form. So all it really is exactly what the form showed, category A, category B. Because I have the form set that you must be logged in to use it, I am capturing the email used. And so it's definitely that email that is submitting, rather than having a free text email field, which you could also use. But you know, it's easier to fake it if you can type in your own email. So the first thing that happens when you submit a form, I have a find record step that's checking my registration table to see, is there a record where the email matches the created by email, which is filled in because I have that option selected on the form, and then check if they're paid. If there's exactly one registrant that has that email, and there hopefully should only be one person, hopefully someone didn't register twice with the same email, and that they have paid, then go ahead and create a new record in a different table, one for each of your different questions. This is at the point where, personally, depending on how many questions you have on this form, maybe you want to use a script to break it up. But in this demo, I only have two questions. So I'm just going to have two create record steps where I'm going to link to that voter, fill in what the category it is that they're voting on, and then what was their answer to that question. So if I go into my votes table, I can see that my response was split out into two different records for category A and category B, and so was Dan's. Now I have this other field called value. And again, one of the things that Chris wanted was you should be able to resubmit your form as many times as you want. However, we only want to count your most recent submission. So what happens is if someone were to go in and fill out the form again, Dan or Hugo, you can now do so if you would like. But what would happen is that any previously submitted vote would be canceled out. And by that, I just have an automation run and check. Are there any other submissions that happen to have the same voter and the same category? So these are the conditions I used. Category is the same, voter's the same, and the record ID is not the same. I don't want to count the new one that I just created. For each of those old ones, go ahead and mark their value as zero. By doing that, that means that I can keep my most recent ones, but not my old ones. So you can see someone has gone in the background and filled out that form again. And my older submission that was done earlier this morning was marked with a value of zero, but the one that just came in from Dan at 9 a.m. was taken. So Hugo did fill out the form originally and was not a registrant. So their votes didn't get transferred over. And I realize that they weren't transferred over now. So I'm wondering, did I mark as paid? I didn't. So they did work the way I expected, which is great. We are not counting Hugo's because we've said that he didn't pay for the conference. So in order for your votes to count, you should be an active registrant or whatever. And that is totally flexible to however you set up the base. You could have any conditions you want. If you just want to make sure that their email is there at all, that's fine too. But the end result is that you should be able to have as many backlogged votes as you want, but keeping it with only the most recent submissions. And then, of course, you could build a dashboard off of it. And I'm still only counting four valid votes. And then slap together dashboard, you could see what was the most voted on session for each category. It's pretty unexciting because we don't have that many people that filled it out, but hopefully you get the gist.
Very cool. All right. So Chris will make sure this is available for this year's Dare Table. Awesome. Thank you, Camille, for sharing. Very cool solution for that. And that concludes today's episode. Thanks again, Stefan and Hugo, for joining us. And Camille, as always, and we will
thanks see you. Thanks a lot for having us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for joining today's episode. We hope you enjoyed it. Be sure to check out our sponsor, Ontoware Backups, automated backups for Airtable. We'll see you next time on the Built on Air podcast.